Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yanam guyatamam yattat. Yanam guyatamam yattat. Sakshad bhagavato titam. Anvabau changamishyanta kripaya dina vatsala. As they were leaving, those Bhaktivedantas were very kind to poor-hearted souls. Instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of God and himself, purport. A pure Vedantist, or a Bhakti Vedanta, instructs followers exactly according to the instructions of the Lord himself. The personality of Godhead, both in the Bhagavad Gita and in all scriptures, has definitely instructed men to follow the Lord only. The Lord is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. The whole manifested creation is existing by his will. By his will, when the whole show is finished, he remains in eternal abode with all his paraphernalia. Before the creation, he was there in the eternal abode. And after the annihilation, we continue to remain. He is not, therefore, one of the created beings. He is transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that long, long before the instruction was imparted to Arjuna, the same was instructed to the sun god, and of course, at the time, the same instruction being wrongly handled and being broken was again instructed to Arjuna because he was the perfect devotee and friend. Therefore, the Lord, the instruction of the Lord can be understood by the devotees and no one else. The impersonalist who has no idea of the transcendental form of the Lord cannot understand this most confidential message of the Lord. The expression most confidential is significant here, because knowledge of devotional service is far, far above knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Jnanam means ordinary knowledge or any branch of knowledge. This knowledge develops up to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Above this, when it is partially mixed with devotion, such knowledge develops to the knowledge of Paramatma or the all-pervading Godhead. This is more confidential. When such knowledge is turned into pure devotional service, and the confidential part of transcendental knowledge is attained, it is called the most confidential knowledge. This most confidential knowledge was imparted by the Lord to Brahma, Arjuna, and Uddhava. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Atitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa Devor Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, just to give a recap, it's the beginning of Kali Yuga. So there's a lot of opposition to spiritual life, and people are not very, very advanced, and they get cheated, and they can't perform austerities. So Vyas has to take the essence of the Vedas and communicate it to people, how they can become purified. And basically, the essence of the whole Vedas is this transformation of consciousness from self-centeredness to self-sacrifice. It's a shift. And Vyas doesn't believe, Vyasadeva made an attempt to bring people to that point by emphasizing karma, which moves one in the direction of self-sacrifice. Just by doing your duty, you're no longer acting by your impulses, and giving charity and performing some religiosity. And then if you become sufficiently purified, then you can take to the process of Gyan. And Gyan means an inner analysis and Vairagya. Change the flow of the consciousness from external to enjoy to internal, to dwell in the self and renounce everything else. And that was Vyasa's strategy, seeing the Vedas and looking at all the people and what their capabilities were. And then his guru came and chastised him and made a very that actually he would not be successful, because people would get, if you give karma and gyan, enjoyment or renunciation, rather than bhakti or dedication, people will tend to stick to those paths. And also, they not only stick to those paths, also, they don't. There's too much ardor in those paths, to the difficulty for people actually to become, to actually achieve success in them. So, he recommends a purely spiritual path that is not dependent on one's material qualifications, because people don't have those material qualifications. And that path is just to become attracted to God by hearing about the beauty of God. And conquer ego by developing love or devotion, which is, and in one sense, ironically, that is the greatest sacrifice. So on the platform, materially, it's not the greatest sacrifice, but internally, it's the greatest sacrifice. Because that really is cutting off love, is the antithetical of the ego. And surrendering to God is the greatest humility. But that begins with some kind of cognizance of what God is. But anyway, this is a path that everyone can take to. Because anyone could just sit and hear, and we can see it, and get some realization, practical realization of who we are just by experiencing who we are, not just intellectualizing who we are. Experiencing, feeling, I want to serve, I want to be connected to something greater than myself. Love is the one activity where people happily become subordinate. It's, we even see that with even a big mafia don or some big person like that. He may be like a child before his mother. He may be happy. Well, I give the phrase happy small. So anyway, this is what Narada recommended. And because Vyas was sincere, sincere person means they want truth. And that's their motive. Most people seek truth or seek knowledge for power. We've seen this too. I read something, some martial artist, something that first person becomes a teacher, then he gets, you know, a little learning, then he gets followers, you know, and then ego can develop because anything can be appropriated for the false ego because that our nature is to be in the center. So therefore we can appropriate anything for the false ego. Even good qualities can be appropriated to the false ego. Even the fact that I'm clean or I'm tolerant, I'm Brahmin, etc. So anyway, Narada got this message and now he's illustrating exactly how it works by his own life. And this is how it will work in our life. It will work by hearing. So important. Transcendental knowledge is so important. Even to chant the holy name, to chant without offense, and to chant with a sense of relationship with Krishna, you need to understand Krishna consciousness. You need to understand that just this morning, about a half hour ago, somehow or other, I was in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, and I met these Chinese people came. They were very educated. They came with Radha Charan, a friend of mine, and these Chinese people come. And they were, you know, people who get into yoga and visit India, they tend to be the more educated class. So there was one person who was really intelligent, and they kept contact with me. And then this morning, somehow or another, a half hour ago, something, they Skyped me. They saw I was online or something, so they sent a message. So I spoke to them, and they were taking Kundalini yoga, and they had some experience. I know this person was attracted to Krishna consciousness, but there's not so much of a community for her. And then what they described is that with this Kundalini, you know, the teacher was saying that we become God. So I could see the misconception will obviously affect your devotion. How can you have devotion, real bhakti, with that concept? How that concept, how sambandhagyan, how metaphysical knowledge actually morphs into our relationship with Krishna. It begins with knowledge, knowledge of relationship, metaphysical knowledge. But unless you have that, not in a scholarly way, but in a clear understanding that there's a difference between me and the body. The body is not the self. There's a difference between me and there's a difference between me and God. There's a difference between God and matter. If you don't understand any of those things clearly, without the proper teaching, it will be very hard for you to develop your relationship with Krishna. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pravartate iti bhutvabhajanti ma bhutabhavasamambhita. I am the source of the material and spiritual world. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. Yeah. And so, it's very important to have that kind of understanding. Anyway, what happens here, Narada Vyas, very sincere when he hears from his guru. He imbibes those instructions very seriously. But more important, Narada is the compassion. Sacrifice is what makes one a sage. Sacrifice is the mark of a sage. So saintly people sacrifice for others. And they want to help people. And the best way to help people is to give them knowledge. To actually give them knowledge. And so he begins to figure out what's the best way to communicate this message so that Vyas understands very clearly what I'm to say. So he understands a personal example. And it's my own story, so I can speak of it with conviction. So Narada says that my own story will be the best way to show him exactly how this works for the benefit of other people. If you can actually do this, if you can actually attractively present the pastimes of Krishna, it will allure people into the mood of surrendering to something greater than themselves. It would allure people to be themselves, which is part of something greater than themselves. So Narada begins to tell his own story. And basically the story is he's a young boy and he's very, very humble. And he serves these great souls. And by serving the great souls, he's allowed to enter their world, because service means you enter the world of someone else. So he entered the world of someone else in that mood of service. And therefore, you come in contact with the heart of someone else. When you enter into the world of someone else, you see what they desire. And because what that person desires is pure love, it's just so attractive. It's just so attractive. And because it's the greatest love they have, love of God. And when you see someone who's dedicated to God, we actually get an image that, yes, this is happiness. Because theoretically to us, service and surrender and all these things, theoretically to us, all these things are not attractive, because it's not where our faith lies. Our faith is not serve the center. Our faith is be the center. So, we see through our faith. So if we're just seeing through our intellect and mind, that's the way we see, but we see the visible manifestation of someone who is living in another world, which is the world of Guru and Krishna, who is living in the world of love, and therefore I can live in their world, and therefore I want that. We need it so much to hear instructions and to hear examples, because so much we're not into that. It's where we have to change. We all know it. We see it. It's so insidious, the material world. Even we try to do devotional service, it becomes so mixed. It becomes so mixed with those kinds of conceptions, those kinds of ideas. And therefore there are anarthas, unwanted things within our heart, and we have to be so careful. Lord Chaitanya told the story of the Gundicha, where they were bringing Lord Jagannath to this temple in Puri. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to clean the temple first. And they washed it and washed it from Indrajumna Sarovar. They took so many buckets of water and more buckets of water and cleaning this and cleaning the top and having contests for piles of dust. And then even when they swept the dust outside, they swept it even further away so it wouldn't blow back. So it's described, that's the process of bhakti. It's so hard to keep those unwanted desires. The desires are that are material, the desires that have to do with gaining power and control. Power and control so that we can enjoy. Power and control means to move things. So we can move things around us for our desires. Ignorant of what that does to our consciousness, which is actually the real happiness. Consciousness is the real happiness. We have to be so convinced of that. Consciousness is the real happiness. And sometimes the consciousness is better when we're not controlling the world, when things are going against our desires. Because then we tend more to search for that happiness internally. We sacrifice the material happiness for real happiness, not sacrifice the real happiness for material happiness. The material world, we're constantly in that struggle that we're sacrificing the real happiness for material happiness. Because our samskaras tell us, our vision tells us, do this, do that, do this, do that. That is what I like. That will make us enjoy. But our consciousness suffers. Our consciousness suffers. So anyway, living in the world of those sadhus and then getting their mercy and developing faith in them, and therefore opening himself up to the potency of spiritual phenomena, which is what faith means. Opening himself up to the potency of spiritual phenomena, he becomes purified. And he becomes very serious, and his faith develops. And he becomes free from passion. He becomes free from ignorance. And now, the Bhakti Vedantas, before he leaves, they see he's qualified now for systematic instruction. He's become enlivened in our association, but now we will systematically teach him the tattvas and subjects of Krishna consciousness to remove any doubt. Because if you don't have the proper understanding, but you just have the spirit of devotion, but without the proper understanding, then your path to Godhead will not be as straight. course, if you have understanding without devotion, well, you can't have that. It won't be straight, like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar. He just wanders and wanders. But you know, he has something from his guru, so it's like the Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada puts something in their hearts. So even if they deviate due to a lack of understanding, a lack of faith, strong understanding, whatever it is, their weaknesses of heart, they always come back. Look at the time that was wasted. So, systematic training. What is that systematic training? It's the training that comes in Guru Parampara. And it's called Sambandhagyan, where confidential knowledge reveals that there is an absolute reality. And it reveals what that absolute reality means. It reveals what that absolute reality means. What does it actually mean that there is God? If you actually have some understanding and realization of what it means that there is God, it is the most happily humbling experience in the world. Because our connection with God is love. Because we have a natural relationship with God. So that when we actually realize God, we experience God and we experience our love for God. And love is such a wonderful feeling that it conquers ego. We don't care about being in the center in love. We don't care about profit. We don't care about admiration. We don't care about distinction. We actually care about our beloved. And in caring about our beloved, we have the most sweet, intimate feelings in our heart that we won't exchange for anything in the world. So here it's significant. You can actually have a glimpse of understanding what the substance and basis of everything means. God is everything. All power, all energies, everything is composed of God. And that, hopefully, that vision reduces the ego that covers our ability to experience the soul, which is pure love, which is consciousness, which reaches its fruition in love, which actually satisfies the emptiness in our hearts. So what happens here is the Bhaktivedantas, it's described by Jiva Goswami, what they taught him is the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is originally spoken in four verses by Krishna to Lord Brahma. And the first two verses describe Sambandhagyan, Krishna and Krishna's energies, or what is our metaphysics, and then it describes Abhidhayagyan, what is the means of realizing God. Pyojan again, what is the experience of doing so? The experience of doing so is prema or love. When you realize God and God's energies, you experience God. And because there's a relationship, then that natural love comes out of our heart. That natural love is put within our heart. Prema Pumartha Mahan. And this is prema Pumartha Mahan. This is the greatest value. This is the greatest art, the thing that has most meaning. Because that's the existential basis of the universe. The universe exists for love and pleasure. And it's only because we're in ignorance that we are not connected to that. And that's really what bhakti means. When I was speaking to this person in China, I had to explain. He's saying, what is this kundalini power and how do you use this kundalini power? And then I've met, the teacher says, we are God. So I just said, basically, it's not the prominent pramana. Most Indian schools of thought don't accept that. Most Indian schools of thought accept the eternal individuality of the soul. And that philosophy does not allow for any distinction and therefore says that everything we see is illusion. So I said, if that's the concept, then why listen to your teacher? Because that's also an illusion. And so it doesn't really have a strong substance. I'm sure people have arguments for it, but I think if you think. But again, you need to have this kind of, and what Prabhupada is saying here, is that this is the knowledge that's actually been carried down in parampara. That they were instructed. This is what knowledge is. Knowledge is sambandhagyan. And sometimes this knowledge is broken, and then Krishna has to reappear to reestablish this knowledge. Even Prabhupada is almost appearing to reestablish this knowledge because Namaste Saraswati Deve Auravani Picharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyata. He's preaching against impersonalism and voidism. Impersonalism is attractive because it allows you to keep your ego. Because you are that. You are that absolute reality. You are that totality of existence. You're just not realizing it now. And therefore, it's a little bit more attractive of a philosophy because it's less threatening to the ego. That's the only thing I can think of, and that's why it becomes popular. Because you don't have to confront the fact that you're not the center of the world. So this knowledge was taught, very confidential knowledge. Text 31. Yena vaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasa mayanu bhavam avidyam yena gacchanti tatpatam. By that confidential knowledge, I could clearly understand the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one could return to him and personally meet him. So this is by that knowledge of the Bhagavatam, you can understand that Krishna is the substance and basis of everything. You can understand his energies, that there is a material energy, there is an internal energy, there is a marginal energy. You can understand these various energies, and you can understand, therefore, we can understand with the jiva, with tattvasta, we can go either way, and we have a choice of being in the material or spiritual energy. And so again, this is the analogy you get, that you should choose the internal energy. You should choose to take shelter of the internal energy, which is a facility, which is a response from God to your desire to serve Him. And the material energy is a response from God to your desire not to serve Him. But this energy can only be understood by one who, by pure devotees. Yasya deve parabhaktir tata deve tata. One who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and the supreme Lord, all the imports of the Vedas are understood. And why are they understood? Because unless you surrender, you will not have the vision to value or see that within the scriptures. Nor will you be trusted with knowledge of God, which is the love of God. That's why bhakti, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, bhakti is, bhava is called sudilabha. It's difficult to attain because it controls God. Because God wants to be in love. And that means love means to be in another's world and be controlled. God wants that feeling himself. So he doesn't give that love in his heart, because that in someone's heart so easy, because that love will conquer God. If someone loves you, you want to be in their world. You want to love them. That's the way the world works. That's the principle of reciprocation. As Prabhupada said, God is responsive. So, you have to serve. So when one has that faith, and therefore surrenders to Guru and surrenders to Krishna and values that, then Krishna will reveal himself naturally. And he will reveal himself in the sacred texts. Okay, I'm going to stop now for any questions. Does anybody have any questions? Oh, presenter's mode is still on. Excuse me. Can people hear me? I think I screwed things up.
Oh, and to make sure I didn't drive hard or twice. Really, really.
Okay, let me put in the question.
Talk to you.
One second. Okay, would anyone like to ask a question? Hopefully I didn't screw things up.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, obeisances, Kanan and Suri.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I had a question. You said something very interesting, that the false ego can adapt to everything we do and then claim. Another thing, it become like part of the false ego, that we do it with motivation to gain control and other things. So how do we deal with it in devotional service? Is it by praying or self-inquiry? How do we
move? I think one of the main things is we always have to keep tears. We always have to keep friends. We always have to keep at least friends or teachers. And we have to open ourselves up to their input and consultation. Because it is so easy to become bewildered. And when you become bewildered, you are the last one that can see it. So even if someone's equal to you, a lot of times they, and they're not envious, they're a friend, they see you better than you see yourself. So I really think it's having that quality sangha that is the protection. Of course, we're reading, we're hearing, we're praying, you know, there's nothing that can be better than sincerity. You know, the real desire to want truth, to open ourselves up. And I think just hearing regularly, we're going to be hearing things that challenge our views, that challenge our attachments, that put us on guard. But my own realization is the greatest thing that protects us from appropriating things in the name of devotion is good friends. Who I have friends, and the friends can tell me what they want. And it's helpful. It's helpful. As soon as you become isolated, there's great danger. And that's the danger of the position of guru. The danger of position of guru is if one accepts worship on behalf of himself rather as a service, then one can easily put oneself in a situation where one's isolated and is just surrounded by people who nourish that illusion that you are the center. It's great to have peers. You know, it's great to have peers because their position will be more objective. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for inspiring class.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that you're both on listening to the class. I appreciate it so much. But anybody else like to ask any questions? Anybody else like to ask anything or say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I'm just saying Hare Krishna, hello.
Who's
Gail. This is Gail.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, great to hear you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Who's that?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Gordon Bhaktadas.
Hi, Bo. Gordon, we have our steady people here that are always listening. And I'm up here in upstate New York. If you know Ira, she's here. And Mother Queen, of course, is right next door. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now today. Vanchakopa Trupas.